The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
Okay, here we are on our Friday edition, this being, and of course nobody's mentioning it, this is the 61st anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy today. And you didn't remember that? You do now. You know, see, history, it doesn't repeat itself all the time, just in certain things. I know, Matt, you know, Buddy Starch, remember when he did that history repeats itself record? Way back when it happened 100 years apart, and then so-and-so shot so-and-so and ran to a warehouse, and so-and-so shot so-and-so and ran to the theater. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of weird how things happen, but they do. And you're wondering about this, you know, brouhaha over Matt Gaetz withdrawing from consideration. This is all the media can talk about because there are some sort of skeletons in the closet that nobody wants to talk about, or then they do and then they don't. Then they do and then they don't. And then the media wants to take this thing and blow it up out of proportion, and they still won't leave it alone, even though he said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to, you know, bring shame on the Trump administration. I'm not going to bring more controversy. You know, I think Gaetz' problem, see, Rubio hasn't resigned his seat yet. He will, but he will, you know, see, I think it was a big mistake for Gaetz to resign from his seat. I mean, he could go back and take it over, according to reports. And of course, you know, when you get your own party turning on you because you're a maverick out there, you know, Gaetz's wife Ginger published a photo on Instagram of the two climbing the Capitol steps with the caption, the end of an era, because we don't actually know what Gaetz is going to do. I mean, he could take Senator Rubio's place and be appointed. Well, wouldn't that be something else, having Gaetz in the Senate now? Oh, wouldn't that be something? So now we got Pam Blondie. That's what I call her. Yeah, Pam Blondie. And you got to wonder why, you know, people go, Krieger, that sounds sexist to me. And it's like, really? I said, well, if you knew how Pam Blondie behaved, like I knew how Pam Blondie behaved when I was in Florida doing that particular forensic examination of the real property records down in Osceola County, Florida. That turned into a problem because we contacted Pam Blondie's office when she was attorney general and asked whether or not we could get the attorney general to look at our report. And you know what the response was? No, thank you. I'm like, here's all these people that have lost their homes due to these illegal documents being filed in the land records. And we've uncovered a potload of stuff that pretty much validate that. And you don't want to investigate it? Really? You know, so exactly, how do they pick and choose what to investigate? Well, you know, see, the thing is that the clerk of the circuit court of Osceola County, Armando Ramirez, who right now is probably, what, 85? And at 82, he was serving as the comptroller and whatnot, much to the chagrin of the county commissioners, who didn't want to see him anywhere near their books. But you see, Florida adopted, now that the circuit clerk is now the comptroller, he's in charge of the budget anywhere, and it doesn't matter which circuit clerk it is in Florida. But see, Pam Blondie had every opportunity, and Lord knows how many derrieres she's kissed to get where she's at. And of course, she helped Trump run. She was campaigning for him in various states on the road. And of course, you know, it always helps when you get somebody that looks halfway decent on camera, and it's sometimes hard to take these people seriously, especially when you know the way that they treated certain situations involving people in the state of Florida, in her own state. She was asked by us and the circuit clerk of Osceola County, Florida, who was himself a retired New York detective, who saw the crap we uncovered and said, hey, there's something wrong here. He was so upset by our results of this forensic examination, he was crying. He was shaking, literally. We had inspectors, investigators there in addition to an attorney looking through all this stuff. Pam Blondie wanted nothing to do with it. The Ninth State's attorney in Florida wanted nothing to do with it, even though Senator or Congressman Alan Grayson and the clerk approached him with 17 banker's boxes of evidence. And the Ninth Circuit State's attorney didn't want anything to do with it. You see how corrupt politics is? Oh, you have to turn it over to the sheriff. And what did the Osceola County Sheriff do? They got on our face and accused us of ripping the county off. Really? And then they turn around and, you know, the guy that was the sheriff decides he doesn't want to run. All of a sudden, we got law firms threatening to sue the clerk if he doesn't take the report offline because the report accused their law firm of impropriety and they didn't like it. Of course, they didn't do anything to the clerk. They didn't sue the clerk. But you see what happens when you start messing with stuff that the banks want to be in control of? The banks want to run the country, and that includes the courts, the judges, all of them. And you see, until these judges and these prosecutors are personally affected, nothing changes. Got a new report out from Breitbart, as a matter of fact. One of Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's prosecutors was attacked and robbed in her apartment, allegedly by a Venezuelan migrant with ties to the dangerous Trendiragua gang. New York PD arrested Brandon Simosa, who also goes by Brandon Jesus Simosa Cejas, outside the Roe Hotel migrant shelter in Midtown Manhattan Tuesday and charged him with the robbery of Bragg's employee. According to a police report, the assistant prosecutor caught the 25-year-old Samosa masturbating in the hallway of her apartment building when she confronted him. He attacked her. This happened around 2 a.m. on Sunday. Samosa fled the apartment building with prosecutor's phone, which police traced to the migrant shelter. Duh. Migrant was charged with sexually motivated robbery, grand larceny, criminal possession of stolen property. I hope they're holding on to him. You know, he's been living, what, at the taxpayer-funded migrant shelter in Queens? You know, federal records state he crossed into the U.S. at Eagle Pass, Texas in October of 2023. So, he was taken into custody by ICE upon entering the country, but was quickly released with a notice to appear before an immigration judge in New York City. He was also set to be deported, but federal authorities threw out the case without explanation. I guess we have to have more and more criminals in this country. So I wonder what's going to happen now that the prosecutor herself has been attacked by a migrant. Is that going to change how Alvin Bragg thinks about what Biden has done to this country? And see, now that this listeria outbreak is officially over, the CDC, I mean, I really hope that when they go in there to clean their clocks and rid half that department, the CDC is supposed to be investigating stuff. They're not supposed to be out there being vaccine promoters. There are signs of increased activity for RSV and influenza, the CDC said. Promoting vaccines, the headline reads. You know what really blows me away is that the Epoch Times doesn't bother, you know, asking the CDC, why is it you're coming out and pushing vaccines on people? Who's actually pushing these vaccines, and are you being paid by Big Pharma to do that? You know what this is all about, because they're losing money off this? See, because as of October 5th, 11.2% of adults aged 18 years or above received an updated COVID jab, and 36.9% of adults 75 years or older got an RSV shot, which is, you know, basically a respiratory, upper respiratory infection. Now, here's the thing. There's so many regular standard drugs out there, some that, you know, don't cost what some of these other drugs they want to give you cost. You know, it's not just the antibiotics. It's other things, you know, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, prednisolone, which you can buy in the open market. I'm sorry, but you don't have to have a prescription for this stuff if you're resourceful. And the thing is, you can clean up your own situation without going out and getting a jab. And you know what's in that jab? They put mRNA, modified RNA, in that jab. And if you got 18 years and older getting an updated COVID-19 vaccine, it's like, what, the first ones didn't work? You know, the efficacy was already being challenged, and then the safety of it. We have all these stupid people in America that panic every time the CDC says boo, and it's not even Halloween. So trick or treat, that's up to you folks. You want to listen to the CDC? I mean, already with all these millions of deaths out there due to the jab, you know, you've got the far right folks that are fighting Big Pharma, which is on the far left because they're under the Biden administration's umbrella. But yet nobody's liable. Isn't that amazing how that works? And then we're caught in the middle of a crossfire. Yeah. Gotta love it. Michael Letts, by the way, is going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk about the FBI director and DHS's secretary refusing to publicly testify. Be back right after these words.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, here we are 18 minutes after the hour. You want to talk about disenfranchised? I'll tell you what we've got here. We got some federal statutes. You ready for this? I just got this email last night. Somebody had been doing their homework, which we all appreciate. But see, the thing is, unless you actually hear it with your own ears, you may not be paying as much attention, because Dr. Scott Bradley was just sitting here talking about his series about bringing us back under the constitutional auspices of what our founding fathers intended. And that's the way it is. Yeah. Thank you, Walter. Title 28, USC 3002, Section 15A, states that the United States is a federal corporation and not a government, including the judiciary procedural section. Title 22, USC, Foreign Relations and Intercourse, Chapter 11, identifies all public officials as foreign agents. Title 28, USC 3002, Section 15A, states that the United States is a federal corporation, not a government. I just said that. Title 8, 22, and 28, USC, passed December 26, 1933, 49 Statute 3097, Treaty Series 881, Convention on Rights and Duties of States, stated Congress replaced statutes with international law, placing all states under international law. Title 8, USC 1481, stated that once an oath of office is taken, citizenship is relinquished. Thus, you become a foreign entity, agency, or state. That means every public office is a foreign state, including all political subdivisions. Every single court and that court's personnel is considered a separate foreign entity. Title 22, USC, Foreign Relations and Intercourse, Chapter 11, identifies all public officials as foreign agents. Title 28, USC 1602 through 1611, the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, allows the jurisdiction of a court to be challenged, a demand of proper jurisdiction to be stated. According to a July 27, 1868, 15 Statutes at Large, Chapter 249, Section 1, which I quote, says, acts concerning American citizens in a foreign state, expatriation, what is broken when jurisdiction is demanded and is not met with an answer. Under the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 12b-6, which everybody throws all over the place, the prosecution has failed to provide adequate proof that the parties involved in this situation are actually corporate entities. Amazing how that works. That means you have to have ample proof the prosecution and other agencies are actually corporations. That means you got to do your homework. We were talking earlier about what Lawrence Wren asked the judge when he was being arraigned in criminal element down in Florida, and he said, are we in a corporate court? And the judge immediately threw his case out and told him he never wanted to see him in his courtroom again. I'm paraphrasing here. But understand how that works. Nobody bothers to say, excuse me, Your Honor, am I in a corporate court? See, because corporations, if they're foreign agents and they've sworn an allegiance to the international state, don't you think we have to ferret that out? Why do you think we have the 14th Amendment to the Constitution? Does that take your large capital C status and lower it to a smaller C citizen of the United States? And then people go out and they ask you a question. Are you a United States capital U capital S citizen? Yes or no? Well, you don't know any better under the 14th Amendment. I guess I am a U.S. citizen. I live in the U.S. and you live in America. But see, they've already taken the laws and twisted them so far out, and you think really that any administration, it doesn't matter which one it is, and you went out and voted for the lesser of two evils because there's a lot of Trump people out there, you know, that are just struggling with whether Trump's going to fix this situation and turn us back into the constitutional reality that we were at one time. They don't know that. This is kind of crazy. And the whole time this is going on, the government is trying to poison us and rid this country of its citizens and replacing them with foreigners that they can control because they're not smart. They don't understand our Constitution. So let's flood the country with all these illegals that with their hands out. And all they want is to rip us off of all the money our government does not have to hand out. And we, the people, what's left of us taxpayers that haven't been murdered by jabs and everything else, now they're all responsible for what? You know, nothing. They've basically legislated themselves to be immune. I mean, you even have to get permission from the court to sue the United States government. Now, you better have a legitimate case or the court's going to throw it out. Well, what kind of redress of grievances is that under the First Amendment of the Constitution, huh? The Bill of Rights. What? That doesn't represent squat. And I'm being nice here. In the meantime, scientists have discovered chloronitramide anion in chloramine-treated drinking water. Oh, yeah. So that means if your public health system out there that you're getting your tap water from is treated with chloramine, yeah, 1 in 5 Americans have been exposed to an unidentified health risk, according to researchers at the University of Arkansas. The chloronitramide anion, a previously unknown byproduct of water disinfection that could have implications for public health, was published in Science. That's a publication, by the way. Came out yesterday. Chloronitramide anion, chemically expressed as ClNNO2, is an end product of inorganic chloramine decomposition. And while its toxicity remains unknown, researchers are concerned about its prevalence and similarity to other toxic compounds, necessitating further study to assess its public health risk, according to the researchers. Chloramines, which are chemical compounds containing chlorine and ammonia, are used to kill bacteria, viruses, and other organisms that can cause illness, and they've been used by water companies out there, those utilities, since the 1930s. Over 20% of Americans consume drinking water treated with chloramines, according to the EPA. Is yours one of them? Is your water supply one of them? Imagine how that works. And they're still trying to figure out how toxic these things are. But apparently, according to the studies, they are. You know, you're drinking water disinfectants. Chronic toxicity is what they're calling it. Possible link to cancer, but they haven't proven the cancer link yet. They're working on it. So here you have research study that says even if it's not toxic, finding it can help us understand the pathways for how other compounds are formed, including toxins. Yet now we have to put a scare into everybody. Folks, you know, if you had the sense, you would filter your water. I mean, they're not expensive, folks. But I hear people all the time, oh, yeah, I drink tap water all the time. There's nothing wrong with it. Oh, that's fine. I took 2 jabs. Oh, whatever. That's fine. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, I got to do what the government tells me because the government knows everything and I know nothing. This is how people behave. I cannot believe how stupid people are that they would buy into this crap. Oh, let's see what else is going on here in the world. There's this stuff out right now that FinCEN is, it's called the Corporate Transparency Act Beneficial Ownership Information Rule, known as CTABOI. and it has a January 1st deadline, which means if you have a business out there, you have to open up the BOI portal at the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, which is a division of the Treasury Department, who issued the CTA BOI rule. It requires businesses to report personal information about all the owners and decision makers, including submitting a photo ID such as a driver's license or passport for each person. The stated rule is to combat cartels, terrorism, and money laundering. But the reasoning is deeply flawed because criminal organizations are not going to voluntarily register their businesses, okay? What they're doing is they're trying to control all the rest of us, and if you don't, you're going to get fined. Yeah, you could end up in jail. I mean, they, you know, you got to call your congressperson and say, look, you guys need to stop this nonsense. Do you want to run all these small businesses out of the country? Is that it? You want all these small businesses to close? I mean, they constitute 90% of the backbone of American economy and deserve better treatment. This rule, see, they got to change this. And you notice how the deadline is the end of the year? Because, see, you got 20 days between the first of the year and the time that Trump is sworn in to stop this nonsense. You know, and they're going to start going out and finding people. I mean, you would think that once a person identifies themselves as a legitimate American business owner, they would leave well enough alone. But no, you got to register all your businesses. Large businesses are exempt from this rule. Why is that? Because Congress likes to whack the you-know-what of the corporate entities. They are into corporatism. And small businesses and other entities such as certain housing associations bear the brunt of the regulation. The penalties for noncompliance are excessive, including daily fines exceeding $500 and potential jail time. And see, and not only that, but you have to submit sensitive personal data, which creates a cybersecurity risk if hackers ever target the database. And what's Congress doing about it? Nothing. Not one damn thing. Yet they want to run all these small businesses out of business so that the big corporations like Target that want to program your babies with all sorts of interesting little clothing items get to exist. In other news, Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered all state agencies to conduct risk assessments and withdraw state funds from investments in China. Visa and MasterCard executives were on the defense during a recent Senate Judiciary Committee hearing as Democrat and Republican lawmakers on both sides criticized their business practices, including so-called swipe fees. Republican candidate Nick Begich defeated incumbent Democratic rival Mary Peltola in Alaska's U.S. House race, giving Republicans one more seat as they seek to bolster their narrow House majority. Oh, by the way, Gary Gensler is going to leave the SEC when Trump is sworn in. Yeah, gotta love that. Marjorie Taylor Greene, by the way, is going to chair a House subcommittee with congressional oversight of the new Department of Governmental Efficiency. Oh, we'll see how that works. News is coming up. We'll be back after the bottom of the hour break with more news and information. And Michael Letts will be joining us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, back from the break. And, of course, beforehand, we were mentioning that Michael Letts will be joining us. He is the founder, president, and CEO of Invest USA. That is a national grassroots nonprofit organization helping hundreds of communities provide thousands of bulletproof vests for their police forces through educational, public relations, sponsorship, and fundraising programs. Do we have Michael on the line this morning?
We do. Good morning, Dave.
How are you, sir? Good to talk to you again.
Always my privilege.
And I really want to say we need to be praying for the families of the Palm Beach County sheriff's officers that were killed. They were running radar, unfortunately, and the three motorcycle cops, an SUV just plowed into all three of them, killing two and putting one in the hospital in critical condition. And so we want to pray for them and their families that they get past all this stuff, because this is, you know, pretty outrageous. And apparently no charges have yet to be filed against the driver, who apparently, they say, overcorrected and ran into the cops who were parked on the shoulder of the road in the grass.
Hard to overcorrect that far, Dave.
Yeah, I know. It makes you wonder about some of these people, whether or not they intended to run those cops over. That's what I wonder.
We'll know soon enough. I can promise you that.
No, I'm glad to hear that, because, I mean, you just don't run over a police officer and get away with it. Sorry. The other focus here is the situation with, and I got an email from Drew over at Publius that you were commenting on Mayorkas Dorcas and FBI Director Christopher Wray. That's what I call him. They skipped their end of the year public hearing yesterday. And I'm wondering about all of the, what are they supposed to be, testifying to?
Well, here's one of the key factors, and one thing that's most concerning is they're supposed to be testifying the state of security for the country by the end of the year. Now, remember, we have been saying all along, that terrorist threats are imminent, but it's become even more critical now with the post-election of, President Trump and Iran's involvement and others. And for them to leave us in the dark, I think it's part of it. But what really concerns the Hill is this. The Mayorkas is already circulating that he's looking to exit, but he wants immunity from prosecution in the upcoming administration. You know, you don't ask for that, Dave, unless you know you've done something. And quite frankly, the list of what he and Christopher and others have done is probably too long to mention on your show because we don't have all day. But that is what is most concerning, is that they are now wanting to withhold information, not brief Congress, not share where we're at security-wise, because they're concerned that they're going to be in trouble with the upcoming administration. Our position has been very clear. We do not seek retribution or revenge. However, we do seek accountability. If you have broken the law, violated the Constitution in any form or fashion, makes no difference whether you, what position, political office you held from the presidency on down, you will be held accountable, and you will be charged accordingly. And I think they know that we mean it, and that's why they oppose Matt so furiously. Of course, they're going to get more than they bargained for now with Pam coming in. Pam is just as aggressive as Matt. She just got a prettier smile, that's all.
So it
will be
I didn't want to say blonde and big boobs, but, I mean, come on. I mean, this is, you know, come on. You look at any of the people that are in there in the committee right now, or anybody that is serving or that's going to be serving, and you look at the, I mean, come on, arm candy in the White House. All right, arm candy in the administration. I get it. But, see, Pam Blondie, that's what I call her. You know, I've had experiences with Pam Blondie in Florida, and I'm not real impressed. She's got her own agenda. She is a politician. So, you know, when you put politicians in office, you know, aside from their looks, when you put people in there that are going to basically do the bidding, I can understand why Mayorkas Dorcas and Christopher Wray, may your hens never lay, may the rats eat your mail, may your testicles fail. You know, that was an old Hoyt Axton song, and it was Officer Wray, but not, you know, I had to make light of it. You know, these guys have a constitutional, well, now that's gone now too, because apparently, you know, we've been replaced by the U.S. Incorporated, and people don't understand the difference that the United States government is a corporation, and that the courts that we're in as a corporation. I mean, how do you think these two guys are going to fare? With Pam Blondie in the driver's seat once she gets confirmed. I don't know that people understand the recess appointments. Do you understand that?
I do, you know, wholeheartedly. Here's what is frustrating. Let's put all the facts out so your listeners understand. Could Matt have been put into place? No question. You have three paths. Obviously, Senate confirmation, which, no, he did not have the votes, not because of the Democrats. He didn't have the votes because of Rhino and establishment Republicans.
Right.
They had turned against him. Why? Because they've got plenty of skeletons in their own closet, and they didn't want Matt going after them. Very plain and simple. So the second ability you have is recess appointments. Now, they pushed back. Mitch McConnell did right before he stepped down. There will be no recess. So there won't be any recess appointments. We pushed back. The president pushed back and said, there's a provision in the Constitution. Remember that little document that we're supposed to be run by? That allows the president to recess Congress, should it be necessary. So we can go ahead and recess you, whether you like it or not, and go ahead and make the appointments anyway. However, there's also a provisional appointment that we can do that puts a cabinet member in office for 210 to 250 days, and it can be repeated over. So you could be stuck with that for at least 2 years if we do it that way. So the question then became, where they took it, they're flexing their muscle. That's what these rhinos do. Well, fine. You push him through, but see what happens to your agenda. because we only have 53 Republicans. And if some of us abandon the ship, you will get squat done for the next 4 years. So that's when you begin to come to some good old-fashioned compromise. What I mean by compromise is kind of like, okay, we'll figure out another role with Matt. We'll put somebody in that will give you just as much trouble. And now you begin to look like you're an obstructionist if you keep blocking every appointment we put up.
Well, and I mentioned yesterday that, you know, if Trump doesn't get what he wants and Congress is going to get in his way, I would just veto every single bill that crosses his desk until they give you what you want. I mean, see, this is the thing about checks and balances, folks. Trump has veto power. And if they bring these bills and they want to spend, while our government of whatever it is that Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be put in charge of, this oversight committee that is going to monitor what Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk are going to do in their little cut cost department and, you know, rid the government of two. I mean, I see a lot of wind here. I don't see, and I'm talking about political wind. I'm talking about what they can and cannot do, how they're going to get away from it, and what kind of nonsense the Democrats. I mean, you know what they did during the first Trump administration, Michael? They went in and they just stopped him and criticized him, chastised him, investigated him. I mean, they made his life a living hell during the first administration. And the only way I see that they're going to stop that is to go after these organizations that are attempting to derail him the first time, vet them, investigate them, and find out whether or not they have committed treason and sedition against the United States of America. I mean, they do have that anti-sedition law on the books, and I mean, it shouldn't take much to even charge them with a crime. And I'm talking about the Obamas and the Clintons and everybody else that started this Russiagate garbage. I mean, they literally could come after them and hold them accountable as well. But hey, it's exactly politics. Right. It's politics.
Well, I will tell you this. That is not off the table. In fact, let's add to what you just said and add a little further degree that is under consideration. You know, those you see that are hollering the most, trying to convince you they're doing it out of principle, usually are doing it because they're covering up. And it's about time, I think, the American people understand who really serves in Washington and what they have really done with their service and what they've done for themselves. And what they have done that you and I could never get away with.
Oh, you're right about that. You or I, boy, if we did something like this, man, we'd be in leg irons overnight. I mean, I understand this completely. But, I mean, this is the behavior when politicians get in there. And you've got people out there that, you know, Ray and they basically have already testified extensively in public about threats facing the U.S. But Mayorkas, on the other hand, is let all these threats come into this country. We've got Laken Riley's killer just got sentenced to life in prison. And we've got Alvin Bragg's assistant DA just got attacked by an illegal immigrant last night outside her apartment. I mean, you know, what's it going to take for Congress to wake up? I mean, do they have to be personally attacked for something to happen? Because, I mean, this is usually what goes down. Our government is very reactionary, but then at the same time, they want us to look the other way. They want to get us involved in World War III, and Russia's already threatening to blow up one of our Europe-based bases in Poland. So, I mean, how close can you get to January 20th before we find ourselves in all-out brouhaha?
Well, we should know something today from the Supreme Court. They have the Brunson case they're fixing to release.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because, you know, that's been very quiet with the Brunsons. You've been paying attention to that. What do you know?
It's scheduled to be, their decision is scheduled to be released today at 10 a.m. We'll see whether they follow through or not, but if it does and they release it, the whole cesspool may get rearranged.
No doubt. We'll be back to continue this conversation after the break, folks, with Michael Lest. He is the... basically, the big guy in charge of Invest USA. This is a national grassroots organization that gives bulletproof vests, and we're talking about active shooter vests to cops all over the country. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
And we are back at 12 minutes to the hour. Homeland Security. Now, there's a contradiction in terms. That's why we have Michael Letts, who's the founder and president and CEO of Invest USA. He joins us today because apparently, you know, he had some very serious commentary about Invest USA. It's dedicated to protecting those who protect us by providing active shooter vests, which is a big difference of the vests that cops normally wear, because most of those vests will stop, you know, like handgun rounds. But when you're talking about high velocity rounds, need the active shooter vest. So what Michael did is he founded InvestUSA.org. It is a grassroots nonprofit organization, and we want your donations. And people, you just need to go to the website, right, Michael?
That's exactly right, Dave. I appreciate that. InvestUSA.org. It's a charity, .org.
Now, have you filed your BOI form yet for this nonprofit?
We have. You know, I mean, we get to file that every year.
I am just shocked that, you know, you're law enforcement, for crying out loud, and this is what they're doing because of FinCEN. I mean, you know, when is this surveillance state garbage going to stop? I mean, we're talking about Homeland Security, and now, you know, I'm involved in three different. I'm involved in a nonprofit, in two LLCs, in a corporation. I've got to file BOIs for every single one of those before the end of the year, face fines and prison time. And I'm just like, come on, folks. I mean, are they really trying to destroy businesses in the name of Homeland Security?
They really are. And here's, well, you have to look at it from their perspective, Dave. Of course, that's a horrible thing to do. But, you know, back on my orbit, why does he not want to testify? Because also, there is a push for the last 30 days to bring in as many illegal immigrants as possible. They've got some new apps they're putting out to cities around to help them facilitate bringing in illegals. So they're more concerned with that than they are with anything else. But they don't want anybody, especially conservatives, to oppose that. So they put in other regulatory requirements to keep you busy, to keep you quiet, so you don't challenge what they're trying to do behind the scenes.
Wow. You would think that, you know, a small business owner would see through the light of day on this one and call their congressperson and say, hey, you need to stop this nonsense, because I've been running a business here for years and I'm trying to do the right thing and serve my community. And these guys, as long as we have a bank account, now we're subject to, you know, investigation and interrogation by the authorities. We're supposed to be scared, yet they expect us to have a business and help the public and serve the community, even if it's legit. But then again, you know, the argument here was that it doesn't matter about these BOI forms, because the criminals who they're really trying to vet, they're not going to register any of their businesses. They're not even incorporated. No, they've got networks set up. I was just reading an article today that actually Reuters came out with something good about all of these OnlyFans sites that are being set up. And there are slave trafficked women on there performing sex acts, and the slave owners, so to speak, are keeping hundreds of thousands of dollars. But what really bothers me is all the number of people out there that actually get online, go to OnlyFans, and pay to watch this stuff, knowing the risk that this person is being sex trafficked, and they don't care. I mean, you're talking about Homeland Security. I mean, there's so many contradictions here, and our U.S. government just lets them get away with it.
You're right. You know, one of the things adding to what you just said, Dave, that, you know, Tom, who's going to be handling our deportation, is committed. He and I talked, and he's committed to making sure not only are we going to get rid of the drug traffickers, the cartels, and the terrorists, but the human sex traffickers. And it's amazing to me that we have people be crying that we're going to deport. And I look and tell them in the eye, I don't care if you're liberal. I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care what color or gender you are. Anybody that supports the exploitation, the torture, and abuse of children, if that's what you believe in, you need to get the hell out of America, because we are going to deal with these people. We know where they're at. We're going to find them. We're going to make sure that they're gone. And that's one of our top administration's positions.
Well, now, I had also, in the last couple of days, mentioned about all of this stuff in the big roundup, because I'd like to get Tom Homan back on the show again, but I know right now he's a busy guy. The thing is that with Holman and everything that's going on here, what his promises are to conduct mass scale deportation, one, this is going to cost the American taxpayers big time. They're going to be spending at least a year trying to go up and round up all these people. But the scarier thought is that people of color, and I'm talking about Hispanics who voted for Trump, I'm talking about blacks who voted for Trump, you can call them African Americans, you call them black, I mean, I'm a honky cracker, you know, I mean, you call me whatever you want, but I am a constitutionalist, and I see the Fourth Amendment being taken to task here, Michael, because people are going to be profiled. Do you see that happening?
Well, yes and no. Let me tell you, we'll give you the opposite side to it, Dave, the defense of it. Contrary to what the previous administration has said, let's take the 400,000 kids. Oh, we don't know what happened to them. Our intelligence agencies, that's an insult to them. We know exactly where they're at. We know where our illegal cartel members and illegal terrorists are at. Those are going to be the ones we profile and make sure we get rid of. We're going to be very careful to make sure. I tell people this, look, grandma who can't find her hearing aid is not going to be marched across the river. We're going to make sure we secure and make America safe. That's our first and foremost issue. We have the ability to identify those who are already here illegally, who are criminals and who are a threat, and we're going after
them. Did Tom Holman tell you directly, Michael, about the actual plans? I mean, I know that they wouldn't discuss a lot of this stuff because then if they let their plans out, that the illegals that are in this country, I mean, they're going to try to hide in plain sight or going to try to, you know, make themselves invisible, which is why they hang out in the major cities. I mean, this is going to be basically the main focus of where Tom Holman and his group is going to be looking at, right?
Well, that's correct. And to Tom's defense, they're not going to be doing it alone. Trump has already committed active troops that are going to be necessary. And that's the right signal because I tell people this. The kind of people we're talking about are not sitting with their little lunch pail on the curb corner waiting for the bus to take them back across the border. These people have heavy armaments. They're expected to not want to leave peacefully. They're expected to engage. We're going to send a very strong message that you will not continue to terrorize the American people. But he also is going to partner not with just himself, but with intelligence agencies and others. We're going to make sure we know where they're at and we target the right people. We're going to be very careful to make sure the American citizens are completely free of any harassment.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing that kind of bothers me a little because you've got Tren de Aragua taking over these apartment complexes in Aurora, Colorado, and, 16 other states.
Correct.
And they know where they're at, and they're heavily armed. And, I mean, people are going to be at some risk of being caught in a crossfire if these guys – I don't think they're going to go peacefully. I don't think they're going to go peacefully, Michael.
You're right. And we're failing to remember, Drew, we have over 100,000 – who are military age Chinese dissidents and Venezuelan and Syrian, Iranian, who are in this country of military age. Don't forget about them as well. They're not here for great purposes, I promise you that.
Well, and see, a lot of people have been saying, people have called my other show in the past, have said that they're here training to do something evil against the United States of America. What do you know in that regard?
They're not here training. They've already got plenty of training. They're here waiting for, of course, and if we'd have kept the current administration, it would have been very easy for them to facilitate and to either get what they wanted, talk about the governments, China and others, Taiwan, other things, or cause hell within our country if we didn't capitulate to their needs. Now there's a new sheriff in town. They're not going to get there once. Now the question becomes, what are we going to do with them?
Obviously, they're going to be sent back to wherever they came from, but see, a lot of Chinese, these military-age Chinese guys, they came here from China. I mean, obviously, they need to be sent back. I don't know quite the negotiability of sending these people back because, you know, they came from China through the southern border through Latin America, and then they came up here, and now they're active and doing whatever. Is there a possibility that some of these guys are technologically advanced and have the capability, even if Trump does manage to get sworn in on January 20th, to all of a sudden start destabilizing the country by cyber warfare?
I think that's why you're wanting to see Christopher and Mayorkas not testifying now. We know what's on the books. We know the threat that we have, and it's a very real threat. And it's not just tanks rolling through downtown. It's knocking out power grids.
knocking out water purification, water supply systems, knocking out sewer systems. List goes on and on. Cyber security. And yes, we are extremely vulnerable and we know it.
Yeah. And see, and we've been told by congressmen and senators, like Bob Hall from Texas, who said it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And people are going, oh, you're just a fear monger. And, you know, they don't understand it because, I mean, look what happened to Alvin Bragg's assistant DA the other night, being attacked by an illegal immigrant in the hallway. He was standing out there, you know, jerking the gherkin, and then she caught him, and then he beat her up. You know, so, I mean, when you got people out there doing stuff like this, it's like, one, they don't care about life. They don't value life, and they don't care whether they kill people. I mean, look at the guy, Trent D'Aragua, kills Lake and Riley, and everybody's yelling at Biden, say your name. And I'm like, what good is that going to do? You're taking a political stand. It doesn't matter who let him in the country and who needs to be held accountable. Do you think that they need to hold Biden accountable for opening up our southern border like this?
I think it's treason. There's no question. I think the whole lot needs to be held accountable.
Oh, you know, they're going to use the fact that the guy is not of sound mind and didn't know what he was doing. It's like, well, why did you elect him as president, for crying out loud? You know, if you knew this, I mean, see, we're in a really bad way right now. And Michael Lutz, I appreciate that. I hope you get a lot of active shooter vests in the hands of the military that's going to be out there helping the local police and the U.S. government clean up our country and get rid of all these illegal terrorists in our country. So we appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Dave.
You bet. InvestUSA.org. You can contribute by going there. There is a donate button on that website, investusa.org. In the meantime, we'll be back on Monday with more news and information for you that's important to your life. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. See you Monday.